Okay, then you will find a lot of material on how to raise the children from the perspective of our deen, but there's very little that has been done from an Islamic perspective, looking at behavioral sciences and medicine and psychology. What in those knowledges is there that is of value to us? So Hazrat is saying that what we did is that we did a lot of research for this entire past year, and we got literature from Australia and Europe and US, Canada, some other countries, and we got that printed material. And so after searching through all this, then we found some very good information on the upbringing of children, and we want to present that to the women in these morning, in the series of morning talks this year in Itikaf. So we want that the women should take out their pens and notebooks, and they should take notes, and if they write these things down and make use of them, then they will be able to benefit from it. And these are things that have to be understood first. That mother who has a deep understanding and a plan and a vision how to raise her child, that she will be able to do it easily. So if the women sit and simply understand in the next 10 days, then they will be able to implement this plan. And even before the children are born, even if there are some women who don't have children, even they should also listen, and they should be prepared in advance, and they should already have vision for their future, that inshallah when I get married and become a mother, how I will raise my children. If and when a woman is pregnant, if she has any emotional sadness, depression when she's pregnant, all of that will also have an effect on the baby in her womb. So it means that many women mistake, they think that mothering starts only when the baby is born, but her role as a mother starts when the baby is in the womb, because even whatever feelings she has an effect on the baby in the womb. Then at the moment when the woman gives birth to the baby, Sayyidina Rasulullah said that this act of childbirth, because the woman goes through the labor pains, then Allah Ta'ala forgives her for all of her sins. So she should also be thinking about that, that this is a momentous event that is going to take place in my life, because all my sins will be forgiven. Then when the child is born, so even if it's just a baby, few months, or newborn baby, even then the newborn baby can pick up our tone, even if they can't understand the language or the words we're saying. So we should also be careful in the tone that we use. So we should speak to the baby in a happy tone. And if husband and wife, for example, are arguing in earshot of the baby can pick up those negative tones, and it has not a bad effect. So this is another mistake that women think, that bringing children only starts when the child gets older. No, from the womb and even with newborn baby. And the baby receives all of the messages from the tones and the sounds and the voices that they hear. Therefore, because science has established that a baby has the ability to hear, therefore the very first thing we should tell the baby is the name of Allah. And we should be repeating Allah Ta'ala's name to the baby. Then, when you have a toddler, small child, 1, 2, 3 years old, they should be treated as if they're a small adult. And as he's saying that in the Western research, what they do is that they actually speak to children as if they're an adult. So say assalamu alaikum to them, like you would say to an adult. If they give you something, say jazakallah. Don't ignore them or sideline them or take them for granted because they're children. You should have the same level of Islamic conversation with them as you would have with an adult. And just like a baby needs the milk of the mother, just like that the baby needs the affection of the mother, nature needs nurture. So when the mother, she picks up the baby and clasps her baby and holds the baby and kisses the baby, When you pick up a baby from the right side, they won't become quiet very quickly, but when you pick up the baby from the left side, they will quiet from their crying quickly. This is because science has researched that when you put the baby on your this side, then the baby can feel the heartbeat, and that is the sound that or feeling that it was used to when it was in the womb, so it gets more quickly settled down. But if you place the baby here, then it cannot feel the heartbeat, so it doesn't get that same feeling, so it will take a longer time to make it go to sleep. So this is, if you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this system that way, that Allah ta'ala has made the heart of the woman is on her left side under her breast. So if the baby is drinking milk from the mother's left breast, his ear will be right where her heartbeat is. So then he will feel more, even more happiness or more ease in that position. Then next thing is that the mother must constantly be giving kisses and affection to the baby, because the baby can feel that as a display of emotional love. Then every baby brings, Allah Ta'ala has given them good attributes and good characteristics, but the mother and parents' job in upbringing the children is to extract those good characteristics, to nurture them. So think that when the connection between the baby and the mother will become stronger when the baby drinks the milk of the mother feed, as opposed to formula in a bottle. There was a poet who said, It's a poem criticizing the westernized influence on the Muslim lands. Now the Muslim children, no longer do they drink the milk from the mother, they drink the milk of powder, and no longer do they have their own education, they have the education of the colonial power. So, one important thing that we wanted to mention today, and that is that when the baby has that hunger in them, and he wants milk, or wants hunger, or he's food, or he's thirsty, he wants water, or the baby is sleepy and wants to sleep, and he's ready to sleep, but they're eating, drinking, sleeping, where do all of these feelings come from? All of the signal is coming from his brain. So his brain is telling him that he feels hungry or feels thirsty or feels sleepy. So then, there are thousands of doctors who spend hundreds and hundreds and thousands of dollars to research the brain of the baby, and they wanted to examine that what are the stages of the development of the brain of a human being. When he's able to sit up, when is he able to stand, when can he walk, when can he talk. So they saw that every baby has 11 windows of development that open up one by one. Now if whatever window of development is open, then if we tell the child to do that, then it is easier for the baby. For example, if when the baby is thirsty, if you give him milk immediately, he will be happy, and if you delay it even slightly, he will start crying. So the scientists call this magic windows. So there are 11 magic windows. The first magic window that opens, introduce bottle window. So now this is the baby who is drinking milk from his mom, but his mom is not always available, or sometimes she's not able to produce milk, she's not lactating. So then, when should a bottle be introduced, women, the mothers have to assess that themselves and see that when their mother feed is not sufficient and the baby is still crying, that means now they have to introduce the bottle. And some have said that this can be done from 2 to 4 weeks. And even after for the first 2 weeks you shouldn't, but from 2 weeks onward you can give bottled milk. And it's not necessary to give the powdered milk, it is also possible to pump milk from the mother herself and keep that in the bottle, so that if the mother isn't around for any particular reason, the baby can still get the mother feed which has been pumped into the bottle. Then in any case, the medical researchers have said that from 2 to 4 weeks old is the window which opens that the baby is ready to take the bottle. Then, if you don't introduce the bottle between 2 to 4 weeks and you wait, this is what's called a window. After 4 weeks, if you try to introduce the bottle, the baby won't accept it and will struggle and fight and resist it and be stubborn. So it means that if there is a window in which the bottle should be introduced, we should introduce it at that time, because the window means that that's when the baby is receptive for that. So the first magic window is to introduce the bottle from 2 to 4 weeks. Second magic window is from 4 months to 6 months old. And that is called sleep brain time. At this time, the baby can be adjusted to a sleep schedule. Before 4 months, the baby has no idea it's day, it's night, it's all the same for them. But when the baby is from 4 to 6 months, now you can try to put the baby on a schedule. So if you want to put him to sleep at Maghrib, he will be able to sleep till Fajr. He will start developing sleep cycles. Here now the baby does not need the middle of the night feed. You don't need that 1 a.m. feed in the middle of the night, because now they're able to sleep for many hours continuously. So therefore at this point the mother should try to adjust the schedule of the baby, try to put the baby to sleep at Isha so that the baby sleeps all night and that you can also sleep at night. If you don't do it in this window from 4 to 6 months, then the child will always have fitful sleep, and then after 6 months it will be difficult, more difficult to adjust them to a sleeping schedule. Then when it's time to put the baby to sleep, you should put the baby to sleep with some lullaby, some poetry like this, Hasbiya Rabbijallah Mafi Kalbi Ghairullah. Or any other such Islamic rhyming rhythm, because then the baby will be rhythmically put to sleep. The third window that is open in the brain development of a child is called start solids, when the baby can now eat solid food in addition to drinking the milk. And this is starting at 6 months. When the baby is 6 months old, then now the baby is able to take solids. Some mothers try to give the solids before 6 months, but this is not the child's mental development isn't such that they know how to chew and process the solid. And this is why some babies develop food allergies, because you try to start them on solid foods too early. So we should not give solids before 6 months. But after 6 months, now the brain is ready to accept the introduction of solids into the diet. So therefore, we should introduce solids at that time. And then, so after 6 months, when we start the baby in the solids, there are four signals that we can tell. Number one is that the baby is able to sit up with a little bit of help, but he has a concept of sitting up. Second, he's able to control his head movement. Third, that if you put something in his hand, he's able to grip it, and he's able to even take it, lift it to his mouth. This is a sign he's ready to eat. And fourth is if he starts getting interested in food. So when you see these four signs, that means that now the baby is ready for solids to be introduced into his diet. some mothers who make the mistake that they try to give the baby solids at the time of Fajr. Whereas at the time of Fajr, this is the maximum time when she has her own breast milk, because she's been producing milk all night and she hasn't fed the baby at night because the baby was on the proper sleep schedule. And in the afternoon and evening, her milk will go down. So it's better to feed the solids in the afternoon for this reason. And second reason is that because the later you feed the solids in the evening, then they will also help them to sleep longer. Next thing is called sipping cup window. Now they can drink with their own hand from 7 to 9 months of age. The baby can be given a double handle sippy cup, and there's a valve on it which controls the flow so that it will not overflow and make the baby gag. So in the beginning we may place the cup in the hand, but ideally the baby should be able to do it without any help from the adult, and this will take place around 7 to 9 months. In that cup you can put formula milk, or you can put the mother's own milk, either way. The fifth window is called from 12 to 18 months, from 1 to 1 and a half years old. This is when the child can start walking. So now the mother there's a danger that he may have separation anxiety from his mother, because when he walks away he feels distant. So he will be attached to something to fulfill that gap. So if he gets attached to his pillow, or he will get attached to a toy, this will help him get over the anxiety of walking a bit distant from his mom. Or he will hold on to his mom's hair. He will hold on to something. Whatever it is that he holds on to, that is the attachment that the baby is having that is natural. And therefore, the mother should not discourage it, but she should realize this is a natural process in the development. Yes, 60% of babies, 40% of babies won't have this, and won't have this need, and 60% of the babies will have such a need. The sixth window is called the pacifier window. This is from 12 months to 23 months. And this is the time for the baby that pacifier that what they suck on, this is the time when they will leave that. From the 12th to 23rd month, you have to try to take away the pacifier from them. It'll be easy for them to give it up at that time. And if they have very attached to it, then their speech will become delayed. So that's why you want to get them off the pacifier well in time, so that their speech isn't delayed. And it will also stunt the growth of their teeth if you don't take them off the pacifier in time. So if a baby has not, by the age of 2, taken themselves off the pacifier, then they will then always be sucking their thumb and biting their nails later on in their life. So that's why by the 23rd month, you should make sure that they take off the pacifier, so that the brain gets this message that, yes, I've left this act. The seventh window Child sleep train window. What does that mean? That in the beginning the baby sleeps in the crib, and now when this window for this is 2.5 years to 3 years of age, now we should take him out of the crib and put the baby in a bed or cot. This is also a project that the mothers, if they try to take the baby out of the bed before 2.5 years, out of the crib before 2.5 years, the baby will be upset, and the mother doesn't realize that the baby is not ready for this. So until the age of 2.5 years, the baby should sleep in the crib. And if the baby is big and you are worried that he can climb out of the crib, then you should put a tent on top of the crib so the baby can't get out. And then after 2.5 years, then the baby should sleep on the bed. And then they're mentally prepared to sleep on the bed. The eighth window potty training window. This is from 2.5 years to 3 years of age. And in here, the baby can be, child, toddler can be trained to go to the bathroom. So those moms who try to train the child earlier, they will try really hard and the child won't respond, and the child will get frustrated, the parent will get frustrated. So from 2.5 to 3 years, this is the best time to train them. And if you see that the child is resisting, then you can even wait a little bit more. But you have to wait for the child to be mentally prepared to go to the bathroom on their own. Ninth magic window.
Magic window. End nap time.
Now before, the child used to sleep at night and sleep during the day. But now, this window is from 3 to 5 years of age. And in this time period, we can train the child that they should not sleep so long during the day, so that they get ready for their schooling and education. 10th magic window is called training wheels window. And this is from the age of 5 years to 7 years. And in this, a person's mind teaches a baby how to balance physically, their physical balance. So this is the time you can give them a bicycle. Before, the bicycle had these two extra wheels on the back, which were called training wheels, because the child could not balance the bicycle on their own. But from 5 to 7 years of age, you can take the training wheels off, because now the child has the mental ability and skill now to balance. And so, and you can even start by telling the child to balance. And the child will learn how to balance easily in this 5 to 7 years, and then you can give him a two-wheel bicycle. The 11th magic window, it's called bath window. This is from 6 to 7 years of age. That now a child should learn how to bathe on their own. Before this, children do bathe on their own, but they can make mistakes. They can slip. They may fall down. They may get an injury then. They may not be able to mix the hot and cold water. They may open the hot and burn themselves. Or they may flood your bathroom. So between ages of 6 and 7 years, this is the age when they have that maturity now to independently, properly, safely, securely take a bath on their own. They will be able to shampoo the hair on their own. They will be able to soap their body on their own. All of these things now they will be able to do maturely, and they will be able to learn how to control hot water, cold water properly. And sometimes, if there's some children who initially are scared of taking a bath on their own, then the mother should supervise their bath first in the beginning. And if it's a young daughter, then the mother can take a bath with her together and demonstrate to her how to bathe, first shampoo, first soap, then wash it off, etc. And if it's a father, the father can take the small boy and also demonstrate to him how exactly to take a bath. So from 6 to 7 years of age, this is the age of the window when the child can learn to bathe and shower on their own. These were those windows that if you do these things within the windows, then it will be easier. Now there are 10 brief points that we will also mention, and that will be beneficial for the women in their parenting of the children. The first is that whenever you're able to give a children a choice, you should always ask the child. For example, if there's more than one thing to eat, ask them, what would you like to eat? If there's more clothes in their closet, ask them to select their clothing. This gives the child confidence and decision-making capability and wisdom. So if they want to sit in the car, which seat would you like to sit in? Okay, you want to play? What game do you want to play? So start giving them more and more choices. And when you give them the opportunity to make decisions and choices, then this would develop the decision-making skill to a level of perfection. Second point is that if any child does not want to do something, don't insist. Do not insist, do not get angry, do not scold. Instead, you should think that right now the brain is not signaling this child to do this act. So however much I scold and get angry at this child, he will just resist and be more stubborn and will have a negative effect. Therefore, I, the parent, should have sabr. I should be patient. I should take a deep breath. I should calm down. And later on, at some point, when he is more receptive, I should tell the child to do that act. Third, is that whenever you want to make the child do something, you should demonstrate first by example. If you want him to eat, first show him this is how you eat, how you make the morsels, how you make the bites. Should always lead by example and demonstrate by example. Because it's very easy for a child to copy. It's more difficult for the child to figure out on its own. So don't give verbal instructions, don't do this, eat that, pick this up. You should practically demonstrate it because it's very easy for the child to copy. So that's a big mistake when you don't demonstrate and you simply give verbal instructions. You have to practically demonstrate. When you make the practical demonstration, the child will easily be able to copy. The fourth thing is that the child has filters on their brain. In the beginning, those filters don't work. Therefore, whatever signal comes, they should not look at any screen because they cannot process those signals. So before the age of 2, they shouldn't look at an iPad screen, TV screen, cell phone screen, no screen before the age of 2. If they look at a screen before the age of 2, then even if they're looking at cartoons or whatever, they will think that this is reality. They won't realize it is just a screen. And then this will always have a negative impact on the personality development of the child. So the child cannot distinguish, brain filter meant that they cannot distinguish what is reality and what is screen. So when you fill all these things with them when they're a baby, you should not show them the cartoons where there's fighting. And because you will be filling his mind with the psyche of fighting. And he will grow up to be an argumentative and fighting personality. So you should be very careful about this. Fifth point is that if some child does something according to the way he wanted to do it, you should appreciate it. You should praise him. You should kiss them. You can verbally praise them. You can hug them. All of this is appreciation. Appreciation is not necessarily just giving a reward or saying something. There can be many ways. Even smiling, looking at the child smiling is also a gesture of appreciation. We should do this appreciation more. We have seen often that women, mothers, they often say no, no, and scold when the child doesn't do something that they want, but they're very lazy in praising the child and showing appreciation when the child does do what they were supposed to do. So the scientists have researched that once the mom says no, now she has to say 3 yeses for every no that she says. Otherwise, all the time, the child keeps hearing no, 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 no. So that stunts the personality growth of the child and he'll keep being stubborn and resisting. So for every time you tell your child no, you ask them to desist from something, at least 3 times you must say yes. In some other act, you have to give them the green light for some other thing. Then, next day, what is going to happen, you should share that with the child. Okay, tomorrow the guests are coming, tomorrow we'll be traveling. Start giving them an idea of planning for the next day, that there's a tomorrow. So then the child starts mentally getting prepared that there's another day, there's an act tomorrow. And the child will also be prepared. Sometimes guests come and all of a sudden the child doesn't want to meet them and talk to them, but you didn't prepare the child. You have to tell them before, tomorrow this guest is coming, we're going to sit with them, we're making food for them. So then when the guests come, the child will behave normally, but if you don't share with them the plan, then they will also resist. Then next point is that we should try that we should all eat together as a family. And the child will observe the father while eating, the child will observe naturally the mother while eating. So he will learn a lot by eating together in the family meal. And this mealtime is the informal education of the children, and that gives the children a lot of benefit. Next point is that, number 8, is that you should decorate and keep your home such that he's free to play and explore. You shouldn't put fragile items that are breakable within his reach. Why do you want to put something breakable in his reach and he touches it and breaks it and you scold him? No, you should design the layout of your items, household belongings, such that it is friendly for the child. Because you should know that's what he's going to do, especially when he's 1, 2, 3 years old. He's going to grab something. He wants to see how it feels. He throws it on the ground to see what it hears like. He doesn't know that it's made of glass. He just wants to hear what sound it makes. But you get angry and say, oh, he broke the glass. He didn't want to break the glass. He wanted to see what this thing sounds like. So don't put any breakables, decoration pieces, fragile items within his reach, because it shouldn't be, oh, don't touch this, don't go there, oh, why are you going there? You shouldn't set your home, again, you're saying, no, don't touch this, don't go there, don't do this. The more no's you say, the more effect it has on your child. So try to create a situation where there's the least likelihood that you will ever have to say no. The 9th thing is that children love to mimic what they see their elders doing. So the child will have a short-term memory. They will observe and memorize and repeat what their parents do. But therefore, Imam Ghazali Atai wrote that parents should try that they should... parents should never get overly friendly with each other in front of their children. And we had experience that there was a young woman, a young girl who had many relations with men, and she then changed her life after she heard bayans of Shaykh. And then she came once and she had mentioned her previous sins to Shaykh. The Shaykh asked her that, you were such a young age, why did you start these activities with men? Where did you even get such an idea at such a young age? So she said that when I was young, I actually saw my parents in the act. And that scene was imprinted on my mind, and all the time I started thinking about that. And that's why, and I wanted to copy my parents, so that's why at a very young age, I would try to approach boys and do those things. So how foolish we were as parents that we were blaming the child that she had improper behavior, but actually we didn't do our parenting properly and we didn't hide those things from the child. So in front of the child, we should do the good things. So we should recite Quran, we should do zikr, we should pray salah. So the child will keep seeing that and they will learn from observation. If they see instead that you lie or that you are not being nice to people, so the child will also copy that. So the child will look at the model of their parents and will pattern himself after that model. The last point, is that every child has their own personality, their own thinking, their own train of thought. You will not be able to tell that 100%. So whatever it is, you should always deal with the child lovingly. There was once a person whose wife passed away, and at that point they had a son who was only 3 years old. So then he married another woman at some point. So when the man father married again, so the child accepted his second wife and like mother, and he started living with her with love and affection. So one day the father, when he grew, asked the baby, that who do you like better, your first mom or your second mom? So the baby said that my first mother was a liar and my second mother tells the truth. So the father was amazed. This is what he's calling his mother a liar, and he's saying his second mother is true. So then he asked the boy, that why are you saying this? And the boy said that when my first mother, she would get angry with me, she would say that I won't give you food if you don't listen. But sometimes I wouldn't listen, and even then my mom would come and give me food, but I would refuse and I wouldn't eat, and I would used to bother her. But she would keep asking me, I want you to eat, I want you. So she was actually lying to me. She would say, I won't give you food, but she would give me food and try to feed me. And this second mother, she's true. 2 days ago she told me that you did this, I'm not going to give you food, your meal. And I was so hungry, and still she hasn't given me the food. So this is the love the mother has. No mother can have love for the child. What Sheikh is saying is that the first wife was the real mother, so she couldn't follow through on her threat. But the second wife is not the real mother, so she actually kept the child hungry. And then Sheikh is saying that the real mother, no woman can replace the love of a real mother. So the foster mother, she can actually do it and not give the child food. But the real mother could never do that. You can never ever measure and assess the love that a real mother has for her children. And the love that the mother has for, real mother has for the child is... It's like a spring that never fades and never turns to winter. If the child is raised properly and on piety, then every breath that child would take in their life, the mother will get one good deed written in her book of deeds. So all the mothers should make a deep intention to raise their children.
اے اللہ میرا نام کا تیسرا عشرہ شروع ہو گیا جو آگ سے خلاصی کا عشرہ ہے.
Very big team. We began the third 10 days of Ramadan, which is the days of granting emancipation from hellfire. Very big team. Send your mercy on us. Take us out from Jahannam. Very big team. Protect us from the fire of hell. Very big team. We have seen in the month of Ramadan, the well-off believers, they give a lot in charity generously to those who are poor. Very big team. We are poor in our good deeds, and you are the most generous of generous ones. Ya Rabbi Kareem, give us the charity of your mercy in this month. Give us the charity of your forgiveness in this month. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us amongst those who are accepted to you, who are beloved to you. Forgive us for all of our sins. Ya Rabbi Kareem, all of the women who have come, fulfill all their intentions and fulfill all of their pious, heart's pious desires.